it's the evening time. And how many people know what it's like to go through evening times in our life? When it seems like the sun is setting, things become a little bit dark, but God is worthy of the praise all the time. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. If they're ready to record there today. Ephesians chapter 6. Today we're going to start a new sermon series. Going to run over the next little while. I can't say exactly how long, but you don't want to miss out. It's going to be a good series. Ephesians chapter 6. And the scripture is going to be on the screen. But as you know, I have something about kind of the old-fashioned bringing your Bible to church. See, there's phones are great. And sometimes my phone, if I haven't got my Bible with me, is very convenient. But I take my phone everywhere. But I take my Bible to church. Something about picking it up and taking it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Has everyone got it there? If you don't, it's on the screen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Everyone say whole. I want you to notice, it's going to be really revelatory, and I'm glad that Brother Brickle's here because this is going to be deep. Maybe he's the only one that will get it. Theologian. But the Bible says put on the whole armor. I want you to notice the depth of that word whole. It means whole. It doesn't mean half. It doesn't mean part. Did everyone get that? Everyone understands it means the whole armor of God. Not part, not half, but the whole armor. And then the second part I want to show you is that it's the armor of God. Everyone say God. It's His. You can't get this in a shop. You can't get it listening to a tape. It's the armor of God. All right. I'm glad we cleared that up. That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the attacks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Everybody say, people are not my problem. Some of us were hard to get that out. Because sometimes we do think they really are the problem. So, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sounds like a major deal to me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole, everybody say whole, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, this is how you're going to do it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all, everybody say all, the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want to start today a series called Armed and Ready. Armed and Ready. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to work our way through this armor that God has given us. Because yes, we are in a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we are in a spiritual battle. And I believe that God would have us to understand that while we are in a spiritual battle, that God has already equipped us so that we can stand. And having done more than just stand, but God has equipped us so that we can be victorious in spite of the battles that we may face. And so today I want to preach about the belt of truth. I want to talk about guarding against the lies of the enemy. Let's pray that God would speak to us through His word today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have not left us, Lord God, without weapons. Lord God, that you have prepared us and equipped us. Lord God, for the spiritual battles that we face in this day and age. And Lord, we pray as we open up our Bibles and study this portion of Scripture over the coming weeks. Lord God, I pray that faith would come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Lord God, turn me into a microphone from heaven and Lord, hide me behind the cross. Oh God, that they would not just hear the words of a preacher, oh God, but they would hear words from your throne today. Lord, help us to mix our faith with the Word so we would profit our souls. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody say armed and ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am armed and ready. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Some of you may know and recognize that I did do this series just over about 4 years ago. I did a similar series, but I'm excited to preach it again with some new material. But the armor of God is very real because we are in a very real battle. And the scripture tells us the nature of the battle, that it's not a flesh and blood battle, but it's a spiritual battle that we are in. And in this spiritual battle, how many people know that we're in a battle? Yeah? I want anybody who's been living for God more than 30 years, if you agree with this statement, I want you to say amen. But living for Jesus is not a bed of roses. Anyone living for God more than 30 years, say amen. I got a few amens. It may be true that while many think that because they gave their life to Jesus and because they've been serving God and being born again, they thought that now all of their problems were fixed and it was just a matter of just cruising our way into the kingdom of God. But we've all found out over time that life, living for Jesus can be a battle, a spiritual battle. And I believe today that our spiritual lives and our future in God's kingdom, this is important, are on the line. That our spiritual lives and our future in God's kingdom is on the line. Because if we lose this war, we lose everything. But God has equipped us. We have the armor of God, and it would be foolish to be fighting a spiritual battle without the spiritual armor. And so I believe God wants us to understand where victory comes from. It doesn't happen by accident, but victory comes from putting on the armor of God. I believe that God would have us over the coming weeks to know how we position ourselves so that we can be victorious no matter what the devil throws against us. And so in this text, in Ephesians chapter 6, no doubt Paul, who had his fair share of dealings with Roman soldiers, he had been in prison and he had been kept under guard by Roman soldiers. And as Paul's writing this portion of scripture in Ephesians 6 describing the armor of God, he no doubt would have been picturing these Roman soldiers who would have dealt so harshly with him. He would have seen his fair share of Roman soldiers. He was in prison a number of times. And so as he's describing each of the pieces of armor, and each of those pieces of armor, starting with the belt of truth, they all mean something for us. The belt of truth. Gird up your loins. Take the belt of truth. And so I want to explain to everybody today that you can be filled with the Spirit, and you can be a prayer warrior. You can be filled with the glory of God, and you can be a worshiper and a praiser. But if you don't take the armor of God, you're going to fall victim to the wiles of the devil. The scripture says, you've got to put it on. I'm sorry, this isn't so deep, but you've got to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in these last days against the wiles of the devil. We've already established as our mature believers here today, more than 30 years serving the Lord, that we have all established that this living for Jesus is a battlefield. It's not a playground. It's a battlefield. And Paul constantly wants us to know that living for Jesus is a battlefield. He talks about the Christian life. Yes, he talks about it as a battle. He talks about it as a fight, to fight the good fight of faith. Paul talks about the Christian walk being a race, and he that endures to the end shall be saved. Paul talks about us being resilient. But we must remember that this Christian life is not a playground, it is a battlefield. And Jesus is coming back, yes, for a bride without spot or wrinkle, the Bible says. But he did not say that he's coming back for a bride without scars and wounds. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. He didn't say that he's coming back for a bride without scars and wounds, because the reality is that while we are here on earth, when we're not in the sweet by and by, we're in the nasty now and now. That we are in a spiritual battle. And we've got to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, if you turn your attention there. Verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says this word a number of times. In fact, in verse 12 it says it, repeats it again in verse 13. It says, wherefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and having done all, to stand. All right. Stand therefore, the next verse says. So we see the word stand three times right there. And so before you take anything, you've got to get yourself in the right posture. You've got to, everybody say, stand. You've got to stand. Standing means that you mean business. Sitting is a relaxed posture. Standing means that you're ready. And if we sit still, but sometimes we think if I can just sit still, the devil will go away. No, the Bible says that you've got to stand. You've got to get up and get in that offensive posture. Now, I'll tell you a little story, and most of the young people are out of here, so I wouldn't encourage them to do the same. But one day, I was about 19, and we went down to Tuggeranong McDonald's. And I was in my little Mazda 929, a 1975 model. It was the greatest thing ever, that car. It buzzed, it didn't broom, it buzzed. But one day we were down there, and all of our young ladies from our youth group were there, and I was sitting in the car, and there were some guys hanging around a car. This is like, you know, this is like 20 years ago now, back in the olden days. But there were some young guys standing around a car. And as our young ladies got out to walk into the shop, into the McDonald's, they started saying some things, nothing really bad, but just kind of whistling and hey, babe, and calling out these names. And I decided that I wasn't going to have, my wife was there and I needed to look tough as well, this on the side. So I decided that I would tell them that it wasn't so wise to have their mouth open and they might like to think of shutting their mouth, or I will shut it for them. Sitting in my car with my window down, they proceeded to make their way to the car. And I thought, hang on. First of all, I immediately realized that I'm not a small boy. I'm well built. And they didn't look as well built as me. But I wasn't going to take it sitting down. And when you're sitting in the car, you feel very vulnerable as they reach through the window and take a hold of your throat or lay a few on the end of your nose. By the way, I don't have a bone in my nose, so that don't worry about that. But I knew, as soon as I saw them walking across the car park, the most important thing for me was to get out of the door and to stand. And I did that. What proceeded after that was just a conversation. They told me that I didn't need to say that, and I told them that they didn't need to say that. And we decided there and then that it wasn't worth fighting about. I think I said something that I'm not going to waste my time with you guys. Just keep your mouth shut. And they walked away. But I believe if I had sat there in that relaxed posture, that they might have reached through the window and given me a little bit of curry right there and then. But I had to get out, and I had to get in that offensive posture and say, I mean business. The Bible says before you take any armor, you got to stand and show the devil that you mean business. Get in the offensive posture. And some of us, yeah, we're tired of fighting and now we're retreating. But I've come to encourage somebody, when the devil comes against you, if you don't know what else to do, just stand your ground and get in the offensive posture and say, I'm a child of God. And we can become comfortable in retreat. We can become comfortable walking back in our relaxed posture. But I've come to tell somebody today that we must not be weary in well-doing, because we will reap if we faint not. Keep a hold of the word of God. Stay strong and stand on the promises of God. Get in that offensive posture. You don't have to be scared of the devil. He is like a lion, but he's not a lion. I serve the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and his name is Jesus. And I can stand in the midst and in the face of the battle. And so we're talking about guys having muscles today. I like to think of myself once upon a time like that. But I went to the gym, and I used to go to the gym down at Southern Cross at my lunchtime to try and keep in shape. And I went to the gym, and I noticed something. I went for my sign up, and they gave me a program to do. It was a whole body program, you know, arms and back and legs and, I don't know, ankles and everything. You know, I had to do everything. I was on the elliptical. I was on the stepper. I was on the bench press. I was on that pull down thing. I like these bicep curls, you know. You know, people are in there and they're trying to firm muscle and they're trying to lose weight. But with all of the equipment, with all of the classes, with all of the memberships, most workout programs that those guys were doing, and I saw them there, most of those big looking guys, most of them, they didn't pay any attention to their core. There was one guy down there. He had the biggest arms I've ever seen. His shoulders were like so wide. But one day he wore shorts and his legs were so skinny. He doesn't do leg day. And I noticed as I saw him regularly, they spent a lot of time in the upper body, on the bench press and the bicep curls. And has anyone ever seen those little dolls that have small bases and big tops? He looked like you could just push him and he'd boom. Because you got to pay attention to your core. Everybody say my core. You see, the core is where all the strength comes from. Your core links everything together. It's your trunk, it's your pelvis, and it's the central link that links the lower and the upper body. It's so important. And I got to see the importance of the core, because when I was working in a joinery, we had a guy who had a big flatbed saw, and he would have to get the big sheets of MDF board, big 18 mil sheets, and he'd have to cut them up. And Brother Rob Taylor was the one that did that. That was his main job. But there were these other big muscly guys. And when Brother Rob was sick, they would have to take his place. Now, Brother Rob is pretty much straight up and down, but he's got a core. Now, these guys had big muscles. They couldn't even get to morning tea lifting those big sheets. They looked bigger, but they didn't have anything in their core. They didn't have any strength in their core. And our strength comes from the core. Every motion we make, whether we're sweeping the floor, whether we're swinging a golf club, whatever it is, shoveling dirt, we're using our core. And all of that support comes from the core. And I want to talk today about a piece of armor, about the belt of truth, and it goes around our core. Everybody say my core. Now, some translations take Ephesians chapter 6 and they render Paul's original wording in Ephesians 6 verse 14. They call it a belt. Now, that belt can be a little bit can conjure up incorrect images. We think of this nice little leather belt, okay? But that's not what the scripture's talking about. This is a decent belt. This is a heavy belt. And it talks about girding up your loins. And so there's really no mention of an actual belt. But this Roman soldier's attire, when they would put on all of their armor, the belt is used for the purpose of girding up the loins. The belt is used for the purpose of holding all of the rest of the armor together. It was central. It was the link. The sword would hang off the belt. The breastplate of righteousness would be fixed to the belt. They would gird up their loins. They used to wear tunics. They would gird up their loins, those long robes. They would gird them up and tuck them into their belt so they could move. The belt of truth. Everybody say truth. Truth is something that we seem to have lost in our society today. There is something out there called relevance. Everything is relevant. They say, well, and this is the most crazy statement you've ever heard. Well, it may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Or it depends. The truth depends on the circumstances. No, I'm here to tell you today that truth is absolute. Truth is truth. It's rock solid. It doesn't bend. It doesn't change in circumstances. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. Truth is truth. And our society now has become one that isn't strong about truth. They don't like to stand on the truth. And even the church in general can make the mistake of not valuing truth. We've got to value the truth. Why? Why must we value the truth? Because Satan's number one tactic is deception, illusions, lies. Everyone say the devil is a liar. He is a liar, and not just a liar, but he is the father of liars. He's the father of lies, and we've got to be serious about truth, because Satan, he desires us to discern truth by comparing ourselves. And so we think, oh, well, you know, the truth is this. When we compare ourselves, or we think about our flesh, or we what makes us happy, or we discern truth by using our five senses, or we define truth by following our heart. Everyone say, follow my heart. It sounds all right, but the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can trust it? You've got to follow the truth. Your five senses will not lead you to the truth. And I'm here to tell, and I know you know what I'm talking about today. We think that we are walking in truth when in fact we can actually be walking in a lie. All of our five senses and everything around us can tell us that we are walking in truth when in fact we can actually be walking in a lie. And that's why we need an objective truth. That's why we need the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. Flowers will fade, grass will wither, but the word of God is forever settled in heaven. We've got to know the truth. You see, you can be living a lie and not even know it unless you get the word of God out and you look in the mirror of God's word, and it will show you that you are living a lie. We've got to have an objective truth. We've got to have a truth outside of ourselves that gives us a clear perspective. In spite of what's going on in our lives, this word of God will give us a clear perspective of what's happening. It will expose the lies of the devil. It will expose the lies that we have come to believe. I've come to tell somebody today that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. And we need to shine God's word on our life. Where are you today? What life are you living? Maybe you're caught up comparing yourselves or looking at what makes you happy. I'm here to tell you that all of those things can lead you down a course to lies. But the word of God, if you shine the word of God on your life, you can see where you stand. And so the word of God is a fixed thing. We've got to have some fixed things. The Bible says in the last days, everything will be shaken. We've got to have some fixed things. And I like to use this illustration, and they don't really use these things these days, but we used to have compasses. My dad showed me how to use a compass. He was very good at using a compass, and I think I learned a little bit, but I never got to use it, so I never really learned it forever. But my dad would get a map, and he'd say, okay, that mountain there is our reference point. So we're going to find out where we are in reference to that mountain. Now, I don't know if you know this, but mountains don't really have a habit of moving. They stay, correct? So we can be pretty sure that while we move, the mountain isn't going to move. And so we are always going to know where we are in reference to the mountain. And so the mountain is there, and we take our reading. We can say, well, we're here. And this is where the word of God is so good, because the word of God never changes. Wherever I go in my life, whatever things I allow, whatever things I believe, the truth of God's word is always firm. It doesn't move. And I know where I stand. I know where I stand because the word of God is forever settled. It's firm. It doesn't move. I know where I stand. I can drift away from God, but when I get back into the word of God, I know that I may be lost and I need to get saved. But when we start messing with the word of God and saying we don't need this and we don't need that, then suddenly things start moving. And now we no longer know where we stand. That's why the Word of God is so important. That's why the Bible talks about taking the belt of truth. Now that word truth, that belt of truth, in the Greek the word truth is not just the Bible, but it's being honest, it's an honesty of heart and a purity of motive as well. And so the belt of truth, we cannot win a spiritual battle if we are lying to ourselves. I've got to find the truth. We can't win the spiritual battle if we're deceiving others. We can't win the spiritual battle if we're running away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. And so unless we build our life on truth, we are building our life on shifting sands. We're going to be tossed to and fro. And unless we build our life on the Word of God, we're going to be open to the wiles and the tactics of the devil. I've got to know the truth. Everybody say the truth. And once you get it right in your life, once you get it in the right position in your life, the Word of God is that E string. Once you get it correct, everything else from that is referenced back to the Word of God. Everything else will be in tune. You see, we could basically define God's opinion, the Word of God, God's opinion on any matter. I've got to get it first. It's my standard. It's the E string. Jesus said, he didn't say I'm the E string, but he said it like this. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You've got to get the E string right. You've got to get God's word in the right position. You've got to value. You've got to put on the belt of truth. Once you get it right, everything else flows from there. And so there's many things. We've got to have that concrete allegiance. We've got to the Word of God. I'm committed. If the Bible says it, I believe it. If the Bible says it, I believe it. And when I was young, I remember my grandfather used to say, and you hear the old people say, whenever someone would talk about something, they would say, give me a scripture and verse for that. In other words, you can't just sprout your mouth and say what you think unless you can give me a scripture and verse. Because I'm only going to know what you're saying is true if you can back it up with the Word of God. We've got to test everything against the Word of God. And so if we don't have this concrete allegiance to the Word of God, we are left weak. We are left susceptible to things that look right. How many people know that there's things out there that look right? Yeah, there's things out there that may sound right. That we like to call them truish things. It's truish. It's not truth, but it's truish, you know. It sounds right and it looks right. But there's only one thing that's true, and that is the Word of God. We've got to take the belt of truth. We've got to get the truth in the right place. You've got to get the truth in the right place, and then you can adjust everything else in your life. Adjust the other strings, our ambitions, our choices, our feelings, our minds, our will, and our emotions until it's all tuned correctly. But you start by tuning your life in getting the Word of God, getting the truth of God's Word in the right place. I'm talking about getting tuned up today. And we can't begin to tune up unless we've get it the first things first. We get the Bible, the Word of God, in the right place. We've got to tune up. And so we got to have a strong, stable, well-supported core. And if we have a strong core, then we're going to be strong. We can't be led astray by the enemy's clever lies. We've got to gird. Everyone say gird. Gird yourself. That's where you get the word girdle. You've got to gird yourself with truth. Why? Because the devil's going to come against you with deception. He's going to come against you with lies. He's going to shade reality. He's going to make you question everything. But we've got to gird ourselves in truth. The devil specializes in fantasy. He wants you to get things wrong. He wants you to value temporal things and devalue eternal things. See, the devil's not silly enough to come in and hold you hostage and tie you up and come into your house and steal all your stuff. No, he's much more deceptive than that. The story, I think it was in Europe, about a jeweler. He had all these wonderful jewels of rings and all this jewelry of gold and diamonds and all of this amazing expensive jewelry. And these robbers, they wanted to go and rob the jewelry store. And they knew it wasn't going to work. They couldn't just walk up to the door of the shop and put a hammer through it or a sledgehammer. It wasn't going to work like that because everything was so well guarded. And the devil knows he can't come into your life with a sledgehammer. You're smarter than that. But what these thieves did is they came in and they changed the prices on things. While they were looking, they cunningly changed the price of a $10,000 ring to a $100 ring. And if you've been to Costco, there's a $500,000 ring there. And they took the $500,000 ring and they made it a $5,000 ring. And so they changed the price tags on things, and then they went in and they stole by deception. And the devil still does the same thing to us. He would come in to try and shade reality, to try to get us to place great value on things that are not worth anything, and to make things that are not worth anything of great value. He comes in and he will try to change our priorities around, to value things that don't count, to value things that are just going to pass away. You see, everything that we have in this world, aside from our relationship with Jesus, isn't going to go to heaven with us. And some of us, we're holding on to stuff so tight of this world that when the rapture happens, I fear some of us are going to be holding on to the things on this earth, not be able to go in the rapture. But that's the way the devil comes. He's great at hiding the consequences. Oh, come on, just a little bit. Just take this. It's just a chemical. Just put it in your veins. Take this pill. It's going to make you feel better. You deserve it. You know, you've been going through a lot. Just take a little bit. And the devil would come. He'd try to get you hooked on drugs. He'd try to get you hooked on alcohol. He'd try to get you hooked on immorality. And then suddenly, you know, you don't realize that what it's going to cause in your life, because all along he's been hiding the consequences. Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. It will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. And it will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And so there's lots of things coming against us, church. But not everything. Listen, there's lots of things coming against us. But not everything that is whipping us has to whip us. Let me get that again. Not everything that is giving us a whipping should be giving us a whipping. Some of us, we're taking beatings from the devil at very low levels. Simple things like just where the devil comes to us with a lie. We haven't been reading our Bible, so we don't have that belt of truth on, and we start believing lies. Some of us have been taking a beating from the devil at very low levels. We're getting whipped. We're getting beaten up by the devil. Why? Because we just haven't even got the basics right. And so if you want to live a victorious life, you've got to get the basics right. You've got to look after your core. You've got to gird yourself with truth. The Bible says, having your loins girt about with truth. Everybody say truth. Now, if you've been looking at the world today, truth is not a fashion statement. You're not going to be fashionable standing on the truth. You're not going to be fashionable standing up for the Word of God. You're not going to be fashionable preaching the Word of God. The belt of truth is not a fashion accessory. The Word of God is not a fashion accessory. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter how the world receives it. The truth of God's Word remains. They can say whatever they want, but we've got to keep the belt of truth on. And so during Paul's day, the Roman soldier would dress himself first with the belt, because everything else on the armor was supported by the belt. The armor the soldier wore weighed about 70 pounds. This is serious stuff. If you're going to be victorious, you've got to take the belt of truth. Don't even think about putting on the breastplate of righteousness until you've taken the belt of truth. Don't think about taking the sword of the Spirit if you haven't first girded yourself with the belt of truth. Now, a lot of people say about the Bible, they say, oh, it's too restrictive. Oh, it's too hard. There's too many thou shalt nots, and it's too restrictive. But this whole idea, it says girding up your loins with truth, all right? And so what they used to wear under their armor, they'd wear the armor, but underneath the armor they wore a tunic, which was like a long robe. Now, I don't know about you, but wearing a long robe under my armor in battle would have been quite restricting. You see ladies trying to run in a dress, and you could take little steps like this, you know, running in the dress. It's the same for those soldiers. I mean, it was long and flowy, but when they come into battle and they want to lunge forward, they're going to be restricted. Yeah? And a lot of people say that the word of God is too restrictive. There's too many don'ts, and I want to be able to do what I want, and it's out of date. It doesn't move with culture. No, the word of God is restrictive. Yes, it's the belt of truth. It's going to hold everything together. But what they would do, and this is it, they would take that tunic, and they would lift it up. And one of the reasons for that belt is they would take the tunic and they would lift it up and they would tuck it into their belt. Everyone say their belt. Now suddenly, they've got some room to move. I've come to encourage you today that the word of God is not restrictive. The word of God will give you freedom. In the middle of the battle, it will help you fight. It will help you to have your core strength. It helps you move. It doesn't restrict you. And that's why the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the will set you, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? It's not going to restrict you. It's going to set you free. It's going to give you freedom in the midst of the battle. It makes everything so clear. You see, sometimes we get bombarded with all these opinions, but when I get my head into the Word of God, I can see clearly. I can expose the lies of the devil. I can see the way that I've got to go. I can see how I've got to fight. And that's why Jesus says, the truth will set you free. Unless you can be truthful, not just the truth of God's word, but unless you can be truthful, you cannot be set free. Let's go a little bit further. We talked about the truth of God's word setting us free. But now let's talk about us being truthful. You see, very often when you have people come, they ask for help with the pastor. Let's say a married couple, they come in. Pastor, we need help. We're having some marriage problems. And very often what happens is you'll hear two sides of the story. Everyone, remember, there's always two sides to every story. You're a fool to go putting all your eggs in one basket in one story until you've heard the other side of the story. And so very often when I'm sitting there and I'm hearing both sides of the story, my prayer is simply this: Lord God, help the truth to come out. God, I pray that the truth will come out. Because very often, people can waste my time for hours and they still haven't told me the truth. I'm dealing with something that is false. I'm dealing with something that is not true. The root cause is unknown. It's not true. And so here I am doing my best, but I'm dealing with lies. I'm dealing with illusions. I'm dealing with deception. So very often when I'm driving to the church or when I'm preparing for a meeting, my prayer is, Lord God, I pray that the truth will come out. Because if the truth can come out, then their truth, when they speak the truth, when it collides with the truth of God's word, boom, there's power. If I go to the doctor and the doctor says, Jonathan, I got to tell you the truth. You're obese. All right? It most likely is true. But until I believe it, until I'm willing to deal with the truth about myself, then any truth that the doctor says to me is going to be a waste of time. Because she's going to say, you're going to have to run. Or you're going to have to go walking 3 kilometers a day and walking up hills. And I'm going to say, I'm not going to do that because I'm not obese. And so all of this truth that the doctor's giving me, unless I'm truthful about myself, it's going to profit nothing. The doctor's wasting their time because I can't be truthful about myself. But when I can be truthful about my own condition and the truth of God's word collides, there is power and I can be set free. And so when you're sitting in the house of God, sometimes we hear the preaching and we pitchfork it. We're like, oh, that's for so-and-so, and that's for so-and-so. Oh, I wish they were here today. Or give them the tape. They need to hear that. And that's for so-and-so. And we miss it. We don't take the truth for ourselves, so it doesn't profit us. Because the truth of God's word as it's been preached needs to reach hearts of people that are truthful about themselves and about their sinful condition. The gospel, let me say this, the gospel is useless to someone who doesn't realize they're a sinner and is not willing to admit they're a sinner. The gospel is simply good advice to somebody that doesn't believe that they're a sinner, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we've got to be avid. Everyone say avid. You've got to know the truth. It's not just having a Bible on your shelf. Everyone say, well, I got a Bible on my shelf. Or I read the Bible. No, you've got to know the truth. That word know, everyone say know, is the Greek word gnosko. Or I got a theologian here. But that word know is the Greek word gnosko, which is an intimate knowledge of. It's not just to have an awareness of or an understanding of, but an intimate knowledge. It's the same word where Adam knew Eve. And we know that means a little bit more than just he just knew of Eve. They knew each other intimately. And we've got to know the truth. You've got to have it settled. You've got to embrace it. You've got to know the truth, and the truth can set you free. So you've got to be avid about the truth. When somebody gives you their opinion, say, give me a scripture and verse for that. And we've got to be avid about any truth. Everyone say any truth. If it's in the Word of God, it's truth. And I'm going to be crazy about any truth that's in the Word of God. And so you've got to give yourself to studying. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's why we've got to be in our midweek home friendship groups and Bible studies and our midweek Bible study. That's why we're fanatic. Everyone say fanatic. That's why I'm fanatic about church attendance. Why? Because this world is full of lies. The church may be the last pillar of truth in the world. Just like you go to the doctor for a checkup every now and then, you got to come to the house of God for a checkup to get you back on the right track. When the truth of God is preached from this pulpit, it brings an adjustment in our life. We may have been drifting, and suddenly the Word of God comes forth and it speaks to our heart, and we say, oh, I'm going to have to adjust some things in my life. I'm going to have to make a few changes. Oh, if we've been believing a lie, the lies are exposed. We're convicted. We bring some adjustments. We've got to be serious. And that's why we're serious about the Spirit of God moving in the church. Let the Spirit of God move, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. It convicts. And the Spirit of God can do things that we can never be able to do if we let the Spirit of God move. So James chapter 8, verse 44 to 45 says, you are of your father, the devil. Throw that slide up, slide number 14. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in what? The truth. Because there was no truth in him. Everyone say no truth. Nothing the devil says is true. There is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Jesus said of Satan that he's the father of lies. And unless we have the belt of truth on, unless we take the truth of God's word, unless we're truthful about our motives and our own selves, then we are going to be falling victim to the lies of the devil. The Bible helps us today. It helps us defeat the lies of materialism. How many people know that there can be a tendency to start chasing the things of the world? An upgrade, something new, the latest jacket, oh, another job, more money, a bigger house, a nicer car. But the Bible helps us defeat the lies of that you need all these material things. It helps us defeat the lies that money's going to make you happy. It helps you defeat the lies that power and pleasure is going to make you happy, and that they're the most important things in life. When you get into the Word of God, you will see what is important in this world, and it will help you defeat the lies of the devil. The devil came to Jesus. He tempted Jesus for 40 days. What did Jesus use to defend himself? The Word of God. He used Scripture. We've got to know the Word of God. When we're sick, we stand on the promises that by His stripes we are healed. When we are tempted, we stand on the truth that God will not allow any temptation to come into our life that we cannot withstand. We've got to be people of the Word. We've got to gird our loins. We've got to gird our core. The core of ourselves must be girded with truth. Let's all stand in this place today. Praise God. I don't really have enough time to do the whole subject justice. You see, there's power in the truth. If you're here today, this is going to be somewhat confronting. But if you're living a lie today, then you better get it straight. You better get it straight. If you're living a lie, because if you can begin to speak the truth, when it collides with the truth of God's word, it will set you free. I've seen people, just as they let the truth come out, as they begin to speak the truth about themselves, I've seen people's countenance change. People that have been hiding stuff for years, when they eventually laid it out, you saw a burden lift off their shoulders. You saw their countenance change. You saw the load lifted off their life. They were a different person. Why? Because the truth can set you free. For over a year, King David lied about his sin with Bathsheba. Nothing in his kingdom went right. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 tells the terrible price that David paid. But he found forgiveness with God when he said, God created me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. God, I have sinned. God, I've been lying to you and to myself. Brothers and sisters, we don't stand a hope of winning this spiritual battle unless we take the spiritual armor. It's the armor of God. You can't buy it at a shop. You can't go and buy a book from Kurong. You can't buy a tape. We can't counsel you. No, you've got to take the armor of God and then you've got to put it on. The first part of that armor, the first part is to decide you're going to stand. I mean business. And then take the armor. Take the belt of truth. Gird up your loins. Take the belt of truth. Get the truth. Gird yourself. Everyone say gird. Wrap it around yourself. Get it. Get inside the truth. Let the truth restrict. Everyone say restrict. That's what belts do. It restricts. It strengthens your core. Gird yourself. Don't just come to church one Sunday and say, I'm going to hear the truth at church. That's going to do me. No, the Bible says we've got to live the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God. Gird ourselves. Surround ourselves with the truth of God's Word. We've got to become avid about the truth of God's Word. Follow the stones of God's Word. What does God's Word say about salvation? Not what does the preacher say. The Bible says in the last days there are going to be preachers that are preaching lies, tickling our ears, saying what we want to hear them say. But no, what does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Bible say about faith? What does the Bible say about what's right and what's wrong? What does the Bible say about how we ought to live our life? You see, when we are deceived, we don't know it, but we've got to take a compass, an unchanging standard that helps us know where we are. We've got to take the belt of truth, which is the Word of God. Today, we're not going to have an altar call, but I pray we can have an altar call in our seat, that we would once again commit ourselves, not to becoming churchy people, but to becoming people of the Word. You can come to church as much as you want, but unless you're a person of the Word of God, you're not going to be able to stand against the lies of this world. We've got to become people of the truth. What does the Bible say? Let's lift our hands all across this place and just let our soul marinate in what God is saying to us today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that in this world full of lies, God, that you have given us your word, that we can stand strong, that our core can be supported by your word. And so I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, oh God, that they would take and stand strong in the Lord, that they would put on the whole armor of God. And Lord, over these coming weeks, oh God, as we study your word, help us to see the importance, oh God, that we are in a very real battle, oh God, but you saw fit to equip us in these last days with everything that we needed. Come on, just cry out to God for a few moments, brothers and sisters. Come on, just make some commitments to the Lord. Maybe some of you are going to have to get into the Word of God, reading the Bible every day, studying the Word. Maybe you only come to church every now and then. Maybe you're, well, I got to be in church more often.